6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I'm Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually a few days later, but as always, with Anna Forsyth at A4Sight03. How you doing, Anna?
Well, I'm doing okay, Chris. Nothing major to report. How are you doing?
Yeah, I would be lying if I were to say I'm doing super duper well, but all things considered, I'm doing okay. Yeah, I mean, it's without getting into the details, just having a tough time with things more important. And obviously it's impacting things like the podcast here. I mean, I wasn't really in a position for us to record normally as we would on Monday night and that, but you know, we've made it happen. If you happen to be a patron of the show, you have a little more context, as I shared in patron chat and C4 Discord, but yeah, I mean, it's just, things are things.
Yeah. Hard to believe that there's things more important in the world than Canucks preseason hockey. But yeah,
I mean, the thing about this, and maybe I'm confused, I don't see too many people complaining about a late episode of C4 like they were complaining over the fact that the Canucks games weren't televised locally, or, you know, more importantly, having funky score bugs or whatever they're called on Canucks.com. I heard the Canucks won like 33-1 or something like that.
That's what it looked like, that's for sure. I mean, to go off the rails almost immediately, at least it was televised in some capacity. There was an Arsenal game the other day that people had zero interest in, or at least no TV networks had any interest in. So it was televised nowhere.
Yeah.
So there was no even highlights.
Did Arsenal win?
They did. I mean, it was like a League Cup game, so I can kind of understand it. But yeah, only the people in the stadium know what happened.
Interesting. I would have thought any, you know, Premiership team would have a televised match. Although I say that, and like, there ain't no way the City match against the Whitecaps years ago at the Mud Bowl would have been televised. So it might have been televised. No, actually, I don't even think it was televised here.
I was going to say, I remember that happening, but.
Oh God, it was surreal. I mean, I was at the match. I went with my father-in-law, and like, I had never seen, you know, that, I mean, top tier players, like, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from, you know, Major League Soccer or the A-League or the Canadian Soccer League. These are the soccer leagues I sort of followed growing up, but I would never go and, you know, falsely equate them to what we were seeing with the presence of Man City. And instead of it being turf, they bring in sod that they lay on top of the turf. And, you know, in good Vancouver fashion, we get a good old soaking a couple days before the match, including the day of, and then they still proceed to play on the sod that's laying on top of, like, I think they had even put boards down. So, like, essentially, it would be like trying to play soccer in a hockey rink with grass on top. Like, the water doesn't go anywhere. It's not naturally draining. It's just, oh.
Yeah, that sounds bad. I did see the Whitecaps play Crystal Palace a couple of years ago. From a suite, no less. The City of Vancouver's suite.
Aren't you swanky?
But, yeah, it was a good time. But, yeah, even the Crystal Palace second team or third team or whoever it was on the park, pretty much, they're playing a different sport. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I think that was in 2014, because there was a season that I didn't have tickets, And as a result, no. I
don't think so. Because I only moved back in 2015, so.
Oh, really? That mean?
But who knows?
Okay. Well, I mean, because I know, yeah, 2014, I didn't have tickets because that was the year I got married, and I had an issue with the white caps and sort of my treatment as a season ticket holder earlier on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just know I didn't go to that match. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we're not here to talk about the white caps or their lack of proper plane services. Not a knock against the turf, but it's just ain't the same as grass. We're here to talk about the Canucks. They had a couple matches under the belt preseason, one in Spokane, one up here in Abbotsford. We've got a good look at Oliver Ekman Larson after one game, and it's a good trade. And obviously, due to you, Anna, Petey, and Quinn are still without deals.
Yeah.
Maybe it was me too. But ultimately, it's an us thing. So let's just start rewinding. The preseason game against the Seattle Kraken, we sort of talked about the fact that it wasn't televised up here. And I grew up in an era where Canucks preseason games didn't necessarily even make the radio. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too upset, but I do wonder, of all of the preseason games not to even make it to air, or at least TV, the first one against the Kraken, could you not have picked up the US feed? I mean, I understand, and I used to work for a telecom on the TV side, and I have some modicum of understanding of how the production works. It's not a simple flip a switch, plug things in. But when it comes to, I think it's like simulcasting, essentially take that feed and plug it in, it's easier than having a full-on crew down there.
Yeah, and speaking of someone who found a way to get the US feed, it was such a high-quality broadcast, not from a necessary graphics or camera point of view, because it's still Spokane and they still have limitations by not being in an NHL rink. But, you know, having JT Brown, his first game in the booth, the intermission analysis, had Allison Lucan on it, who was phenomenal. It was just really interesting, and it's a shame.
The other thing, I mean, it does come into play. You can't just simply say, we're going to take your feed. You have to negotiate the rights to do so. And there's probably some money involved because was it Kong that had it televised? Or was it Roots?
I think it's
Roots. So there's the NBC. 100%. Yeah, because there's Roots Sports. And then there's NBC, which is the king. And then the other NBC, which is Kong, which to us Canadians is CTV and CTV2. I would say BBC, BBC2 for our...
Right. Then I know that some Kraken games will be broadcast on ESPN Plus this year. So I'm very confused by that.
Well, that's the streaming service. That would be and that's the other thing. You could not stream the Canucks game on Sportsnet Now. The only mechanism that you could legally watch the game up here in Canada was to subscribe to NHL Center Ice, or if you happen to be a customer on Shaw, you could watch it as part of a free preview. But what's crazy about this, NHL Center Ice does not give you market teams. And so what that would mean is if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan who cares nothing about any other team in the league, NHL Center Ice is not for you in Vancouver because all of the Canucks games would normally be blacked out.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Now, the blackout was lifted, and I think the Vancouver Canucks as an organization, they sort of were reading the tea leaves based on fan reaction, and were doing whatever it was they could to somehow, make this happen. But we have to also understand they're not the ones who hold the TV rights anymore. They've negotiated those away to Rogers.
Yeah.
Rogers holds those rights. So
yeah. But,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. But for those people that found a way to watch it, It was interesting to get a look at Seattle as a team.
It was. And I mean, Seattle played a very veteran-laden lineup. One might argue what we saw, not to suggest it will be the day one roster, but it's probably the closest to a day one roster you'd see on any team for their first preseason game, even one, even if they're at home. And I mean, even like Seattle Kraken weren't quote unquote at home, being that they were in Spokane, but yeah, I mean, what Seattle provided us was the experience we should come to expect.
Right. Because obviously as a new team, it makes like less sense for them to rest veterans in preseason. Mm-hmm. They've just got to develop some chemistry there. But yeah, it was actually a really exciting game.
Well, I heard the Canucks won the shootout, and that's what counts, right?
Yeah. Weirdly, oh my God, I've been to a depressing preseason game where Canucks lost in regulation and they still had to play overtime when they were trying out the 3-on-3. Yeah. Oh, that was rough. But yeah, seeing as we've like actually like built Seattle up to be this defensive juggernaut, it was actually a very offensive game, like very scoring heavy.
This offensive game was brought to you by the Geek Squad.
Yeah. Morgan Geeky, I get it.
I can't lay claim to that. Someone else on Twitter, and I'm stealing it, and I feel bad because I don't remember who.
Actually, I think it might have been Allison Lucan on the broadcast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
When I saw the name, I'm like, Geek Squad. Like, I actually read it as like a sponsorship. Like, that seems kind of,
I mean, it could be, right? Weird,
right? But then when I saw Morgan Geeky, I'm like, oh my God. Like, that's for, I mean, we're Vancouver Canucks fans. It's all about the nickname for the line. Right? It doesn't matter about the line. It's the nickname that's most important. And the Geek Squad is perfect because it doesn't matter who Morgan Geeky plays with. It's the Geek Squad.
I'm trying to remember who brought it up the other day, whether it was on Twitter or... actually, you know who it was. It was on Enemies of the Show, Trust the Process. They had Andrew on. Like, and they were talking about the Amex line. And I was like, oh. I mean, looking back on it, not a great line in some ways, but
it's not the line that's important, it's the nickname.
Great nickname.
The mattress line, phenomenal nickname. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the best line, despite there being twins. So, twins and a king. But like the West Coast Express, right? It was only because it's the West Coast Express, Brennan Morris and Todd Bertuzzi, Marcus Naslund. You can't apply that to anything else. The Geek Squad, it goes with the player. And that just makes it just that much better. Talking about the actual game itself and what we saw from some of the Canucks, any thoughts? I mean, you're the one who was able to obtain a feed to watch it. I unfortunately did not.
I mean, it's hard to say. Obviously, it's preseason, blah, 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 all those caveats. But Bessa looks just as good as his, like, rebirth. And even though it means the same thing, it's so much better. Renaissance. Last year, like, he seems to be just as good. Wrathbone. He seems to be living up to the hype that we generated from his couple games last year. He's worked so hard over the summer, it seems, and yeah, he's good. Hogland is still good. Garland, as we suspected, is a good part of that troubling trade. The goalie situation.
Well, I mean, well, consider who was playing in net. I mean,
but yeah, let me just say, between the three goalies that we that probably aren't going to be in the big club, there does seem to be a big jump to Mikey DiPietro. Like, he is very close to being ready to be in the NHL. And yeah, Spencer Martin did not look good. So I think he
might be, as you said, is a way off. I have to ask about the rundown. You noted Mikey looks le fit.
Yeah, that's not a weird Britishism. That's just a typo.
He's le fit, which That probably isn't even French.
No. It could be like Alex Barrow as Lafitte.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in French it would be Luffy, but the point being is that when I read that, I'm like, oh, Mikey apparently looked real good. I interpreted.
He did. He did.
That a couple different ways.
That was in the game against Calgary, obviously, but yeah. I am curious to see what's going to happen because I do think they want to give Mikey the lion's share of the starts in Utica. Mm-hmm. And then who do they have backing him up? Do they have Seelovs or Martin? Like, they've carried three goalies. Yeah, I think so too. They've carried three goalies before, but would you want to do it that year? Like,
Who is their ECHL? It used to be Kalamazoo, but...
I think it's still Kalamazoo. But I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I thought I saw an announcement from Kalamazoo that... But, I mean... We've seen dual team partnerships before, even prior to the pandemic, so it's not unusual. But anywho, when I look at sort of the Canucks, two results, and again, early preseason, the Canucks could go undefeated in the preseason, and I would still be reserved in how I would judge this team. I think what we've seen early on. We've seen some good signs. Like, what is it that we were expecting? And I would say that any of our expectations of the players who've played so far have been somewhat met. I mean, did we think Olia Levy was going to be our, lock in the first pairing? No. I mean, we were saying Olia Levy at best is our seventh spot, and arguably he's not going to be there. So, okay, you could say maybe he didn't meet that expectation, but we didn't. I feel that we haven't placed too high expectations on anyone. And then you then sort of have to consider like, oh, yeah, did he look okay? Sure.
Sure.
And as it has been written, he is the trade. It's a winning trade. I mean, I don't mean to knock IMAC, and I understand he did not say that in his article.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's one preseason game. Yeah, he looked okay. But it's just one preseason game.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've seen so many people on Twitter media saying after training camp, oh, like, unpopular opinion, but OEL looks really good. And I'm like, no, everyone's saying that. Like, that he actually has had a really great camp. That's not a hot take. And I think everyone's being as fair as possible. But almost like the JT Miller trade, you can judge it in isolation and say that trade still wasn't worth it, even though JT Miller has been a key part of this franchise.
Well, the counter argument that someone would provide you to that is, well, there's no guarantee that that first round pick would have turned into anything.
Yeah.
Well, and then that's the thing is that we're to judge that. We're judging that in retrospect. Mm-hmm. When we like, yeah, you roll the dice in every draft pick, but at that moment was JT Miller based on the JT Miller that we knew worth a first round draft pick? Yeah. Market probably said he was a first round draft pick in the situation the Vancouver Canucks were in. No. And I mean, to your point about isolation, like the OEL deal may pay off, but the Canucks paid a huge price for this. Thankfully, they're winning the Stanley Cup this season, so what does it matter?
Quite. As we've said, team playoffs, team Stanley Cup, we're very positive. But, yeah, I will continue to hope that OEL performs well and above and beyond our expectations. But, yeah, you can't get around that contract.
Yeah. Talking about the game in Abbotsford, though, we had some fans in the stands. It was nice to actually see people. I mean, I do look forward to a time where I'll feel comfortable and going into a fan-driven event. I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, fair.
But maybe my expectations were really low on the number of people that were going to go and watch that game, but I was pleasantly surprised with the crowd. And this is not a knock against Abbotsford, nor is it a knock against the building. But leading up to the game, the number of times people were screenshotting every 5 minutes the Ticketmaster seating chart and showing the seats available had me believe the barn would be empty, and it wasn't. Now, did they paper it a bit? Maybe. But it's just nice to see fans in the stands getting that energy. Like it was nice to have the fake crowd, but it lacks the real crowd authenticity.
Yeah. I mean, you're not comfortable being in crowds. I'm not comfortable going to Abbotsford.
Well, that was the other problem too.
Yeah. Whatever the
day of the week. I live closer to Abbotsford than I used to, and I would probably not head out there for a midweek preseason game. But you actually noted in the rundown, does it make a difference? Do you think the fans in the stands in Abbey made the difference? Or the fans in Spokane made the difference for the Kraken?
I think it makes a difference. I feel like maybe it's just me, but hockey players interact less and remark less on crowds than football players, for example, do. Maybe because they're not, like, there's behind glass or whatever. But I do feel like a lot has been said over the last year about missing them. I mean, when Bo saluted the empty stand, I mean, that got me. I do think that they've definitely missed them. Mm-hmm. I think it does get you fired up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and I would agree it does make a difference. It's just it's the intangible. It's difficult to measure. Even though every player says, oh, I really, you know, we feed off the crowd. There's been some great crowds that teams have been unable to feed off before. So it's hard to correlate that.
Yeah. I mean, a crowd can't work miracles, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I hit my mic. Many apologies to those listening at home. Just heard a big bang. I wanted to actually sort of, we were going to get into half full, half empty where we were going to talk about the contract, but I thought what we could do is we could talk about the contract now and then talk about some other things that have developed since we were going to record. Petey and Quinn still don't have a deal. And, you know, I'm kind of wondering, what is the impetus for these two players to decide we want to play? Because if the Vancouver Canucks come out of this by saying, well, you guys can sit if you want and we're not going to bring you back, and the players fold, that's a win for Trader Jim. Like, it's almost shrewd, and it would be a level of shrewdness that I would not have expected from him. I still feel the two players have all of the power, despite the fact the team holding their rights in such a way that should take that away.
Yeah.
But where do you think this all sort of falls down to? I mean, I think the worst case is that you get Quinn and Petey to free agency and off they go to the races.
That's the thing. I guess, like, seeing a tweet, I think it was off tweeting today, and I actually had to check the date on the tweet because I feel like I've seen it before, just the sides are still very far apart. When do they get to the point where the players just want to play? And the thing is, like, yeah, if this is a game of chicken, it's not a... this is no longer fun. And I don't believe it's, like, necessarily coming to a point yet. If it gets to next week, that's scary, right?
Well, it's that game of chicken, who's going to blink first. I still feel it's the Canucks.
I mean, I feel like...
What negotiating position are they coming from?
Yeah, it would feel like it would be such a PR disaster if they sit out any games, even a single game of the regular season.
I would maybe qualify that by saying it would be a PR disaster if they sit out any games and the team does not perform. If they sit out and the team shows that they can sort of steady themselves through the storm, it actually allows the Canucks a little more room to maneuver. We've seen this before where players sit out. The pressure comes when the team itself isn't able to produce. fans will begin to go and exert pressure. And we have to consider, if there were fans in the stands last season, it is quite likely that we'd be talking about an entirely different team right now.
Yeah.
There is an ability for fans to affect change simply by being present and vocalizing. And no, I'm not talking about social media, and I'm not talking about media. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people, you know, physically in seats, visibly letting them have it. There was, I think I talked about the, you know, the, I think it's called Hiberkey or whatever, the series off of Sportsnet's YouTube channel. It's an animated thing, but they sit down with Brian Burke and they talk about, you know, these different hockey stories. And I'm trying to think who the coach was in Toronto at the time, but ultimately they made the decision to let him go because they didn't want him to come home. That's how badly the fan experience was. You know, people wearing their paper bags, fire the coach. Like, it was to the point where, I mean, he defined it as like almost a mercy firing. We let him go on the road so you didn't have to come back home to and like face the music in front of the fans. It was likely a decision that was going to happen, but it happened on the road for that reason. You know, last season, despite there being home games, really every game was on the road because you didn't have that fan pressure in your own barn.
Yeah, I'm curious what you think, whether if Benning was fired last season or in the off season, would a new GM still be having this much trouble because they're still in the same cap situation?
Right? I genuinely believe if a new GM came in, that new GM, like, I mean, I don't know, but if a new GM had come in between either end of season to off season, they're coming in with the, we are pushing the reset button. Here's the core. We're going to identify that. That's who we want. That's who we're bringing back. Everything else is expendable.
Yeah.
We're starting right. Right. And that's like, we have to consider, we're getting into what, 8 years now with Jim.
Mm-hmm. So you're right.
Right. We're on the 8 year plan here. A new GM is not going to come in and say, oh, hey, the 8 year plan's been working out.
Yeah, true. So, but you would still have to resign Petey and Quinn with very little cap space.
I agree, but I think that they might have been prioritized.
Yeah,
because you need players around Petey and Quinn. Like if let's say Jim did nothing this offseason, nothing in free agency, made none of those trades, that doesn't mean that Petey and Quinn are signed. You can't wait for those two to sign before you go and build the team around them.
Yeah,
that I completely get. But Jim did not have that luxury that a new GM would, because the new GM knows that, hey, I've got an opportunity to go and blow things up, and I'm telling you I am, but I'm identifying the core as to which I'm bringing back, and we'll spare part it because this season's probably going to be a quote unquote rough one.
Yeah,
exactly. Cause I can always tie it back to the changes that need to be made. Jim just not in that position, and that's okay. Jim is bringing us the cup this year. You've heard it here on C4 first. No other podcast out there saying it's a Stanley Cup contender. Actually, you know what? There's 100. What's 100? I think Sam said 148. She's going to listen to all of them, apparently.
I see. Did she actually pull that number?
I'm pretty sure I could go back in her tweets. Right. I think she said 148. No, I trust Sam. I don't need to question the number she came up with.
She's also, you know, funny.
Oh, but anyhow. Oh, yeah.
So the long and short of it is that I do believe that we'll get them signed before the regular season, but at least one of the deals will look ugly to us.
Yeah. And I would, like, correct me if I'm wrong. Ugly is we get them to free agency.
Yeah.
Or unrestricted free agency, I should.
And
clear that up.
My worry is, and it feels weird to differentiate, but I think we've had this discussion in Discord, on the podcast, on Twitter, that, oh, if we could pick one player to go long-term, we'd pick Pedersen. I don't know if we'll have that luxury of choice. Mm. I mean, for either, but...
No. I mean, ultimately,
Pedersen and Steele might look.
I mean,
unsavory.
If they sign Petey and Quinn to done deals that get them to free agency, yeah, you know what? Not a good way to manage your assets. But really, what does it matter at this point?
Yeah,
we have players that are signed. I think this is the. And I mean, we're maybe getting ahead of ourselves, and this is something, you know, that we as Canucks fans, we do all sorts of crazy stuff. One of which is looking into the future and looking ahead. The Vancouver Canucks are in a window right now to win. Right? I mean, I think that's very clear. This is not a rebuild. It is not a retool. It is we're ready to win. So if getting Petey and Quinn signed to deals that just ain't good for the future is a problem, but helps the Canucks win today and maybe tomorrow, honestly, I think the organization's in the position where they do those deals. They do them twice on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? We almost don't have any other choice but to get them to deals that involves Canucks heavily betting on their own short-term success in order to persuade their stars to stay beyond their deals.
Yeah. Anywho, time will tell, and who knows? We're releasing this episode on a Thursday. Maybe the deals get announced on Saturday. Two times. We'll take ourselves a short break here. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Don't know how to approach this in a manner that provides a balanced opinion, because I think it's quite clear where my opinion lay. But vaccine hesitancy within the NHL has surprisingly not been as problematic as it has been in some of the other leagues, which blows my mind. Mm-hmm. We've talked about hockey culture being an antiquated culture. But then I really need to do better prep when it comes to our show. But I saw someone equate this on Twitter that the reason NHL vaccine hesitancy isn't as bad is because NHL players are conditioned to do whatever it needs to be to contribute to the team goal. And despite maybe having reservations about getting vaccination, which in fairness, while they're entitled to have, they should still get the shot. They do it because I don't want to let my team down.
Right. And I think I said this, maybe it was our episode with Darren. It was definitely an episode this summer, but I basically said we criticize the team first culture a lot. You know, NHL has no idea how to promote stars. Anyone stepping out of line is kind of shoved down, and that's a problem. But when it comes to vaccine hesitancy, it might be a benefit because people just do what they're told.
Yeah, based on the known reports, you can almost count on one hand, maybe having to pull out the second one, the number of players who have yet to get vaccinated. Now, there are implications if a player chooses not to get vaccinated. We have since learned the cross-border travel won't be as significantly as much of a problem as presumed originally. Oh, they won't be able to come to Canada, and those who are in Canada, well, they won't be able to leave. We still don't know about them getting into the United States, being based in Canada, but we do know the American players are based in American teams who don't get vaccinated will be permitted to fly into Canada, take part in a game, so long as they do nothing more than stay at the hotel, travel to and from the rink to play, and that's it.
Yeah, and I believe that testing requirements are increased from the teammates. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's funny
someone had said
that happened after all the stories about vaccine hesitancy in the NBA came out.
Yeah.
Well, not like, after the NHL. I'm sure it's not the NHL's doing.
Oh, no. I mean, so it's a national interest exemption up here in Canada that's being granted, that's allowing for this. And I presume that national interest exemption will be applied to rules that we're going to come into play that are going to prevent those who are not vaccinated from flying, traveling by train or boat. And considering we no longer have cross-country, or unified cross-country bus service. And despite that, I can't imagine an NHL player going from Vancouver to Winnipeg on the bus. I had sort of raised this point. If there were, let's say, a player for the Vancouver Canucks who had some hesitancy as to becoming vaccinated, they functionally cannot, without this national interest exemption, they cannot play in games outside of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Right? They would not be able to travel by plane in Canada. They would not be able to go and cross the border in the United States. They would not be able to travel by train. Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg would have been the four toughest teams to have this hesitancy issue be a problem, at least in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. One might suggest traveling by land in a car isn't as bad. Still not
pretty
good.
Far. I was going to say.
Oh, no, I know, but it's not like Calgary, Edmonton may be back and forth. But the thing is it's this national interest exemption sort of gives the NHL the opportunity to avoid this particular problem. But to your point, I think it was the NBA that forced the issue and the Canadian government.
Toronto don't want to give up their home games once again. They don't want to be forced to play in the U.S. Doesn't it sound like the world's worst version of Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham? I will not take it on a bus. I will not take it on a train. I will not take it in the rain. Anyway.
Yeah. The vaccine hesitancy, I don't think I'll ever understand it. I was talking to someone who had said that their hesitancy had absolutely nothing to do with the vaccine. It had everything to do with the needle and just an inherent fear. And yet they're double vaccinated. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that have had to face up to pretty severe needle phobias to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, they spoke to their family doctor, explained the issue, said, is there anything that can be done to help me? I have this problem. I want to find a way to figure it out because I want us to get it over to there. And that's the thing. I'm simplifying. There are probably many, many situations where someone is physically unable to get it. Maybe there is an allergy of some sort. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not an allergist. I am not a doctor. I'm just a regular guy who has a microphone. But despite that, hearing people I shouldn't have to get it. The analogy that someone was using, and I've seen it a lot. Igor Larionov too has used it. The iPhone 13 has come out, but you know what? People shouldn't rush to upgrade it. It's not like it's been in development for anything more than a year. And unlike the iPhone 12 that had been in development for 100 years, right? You just can't trust the iPhone 13. Not only that, it's got 5G and it's got microchips in it. But as much as, I'm being silly here as those people are, and they're memeing this concern, I don't trust it. I haven't done my research and all that. There are well-proven articles that are without dispute that mRNA as a science has been dug into for, 40 or 50 years?
I mean, literally, on the idea of vaccines, on mRNA vaccines, on these particular vaccines, there have been vastly more qualified people than any of us doing heavily funded, detailed research. Well,
that's the other thing. It's not like it's the heavily funded. It's amazing what magic can happen when budget no longer becomes an issue, right? It's here's the money, here are the resources. Let's focus everything on this. I kid you not, if the Vancouver Canucks had an unlimited budget and had all the resources in the world that they needed, Jim Benning could have had 8 Stanley Cups by now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I digress.
Anyway, I guess what we're trying to say is, if you don't want to get the vaccine, like, I'd be perfectly happy to not have you on our team. And I think pretty much the team is saying that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think we talked about this, was it last episode, where Bo came out and said, hey, I've had it. And, you know, like, I don't think there was anyone stronger than him who came out and said, get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And we're now seeing sort of in the NBA where there are players who are making statements, unfortunately, on both the hesitancy as well as the vaccination side. But the point being is that I am, back to my original statement, I am shocked the NHL is one of the North American pro leagues that's actually leading the charge when it comes to vaccination.
Yeah. Color us shocked, but yeah. It's happened. What is the league at now? 98? Is that true? I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, there
have actually
been some remaining people still.
Yeah, and I actually trust the percentage with the league simply because the way this issue is being approached, players would talk, and it seems those who have are sort of broadcasting they're like there's a peer pressure component. Again, it's the hockey culture that's actually almost bringing this issue to light. It's the, as wrong as hockey culture happens to be, every so often its wrongness is what makes a right, which then makes me hate it even more.
Yeah, it's true. That the idea that you would just put your concerns ahead of like the health of, you know, teammate, staff, fans just seems crazy to me. But
yeah, but hey, I mean, this is the thing. If a player were to make that choice, they're more than able to choose to protect themselves. I mean, I think it would be wrong for us to suggest that players should not make a decision for themselves, but understand that there are, like, if you choose to protect yourself, like I'll use like Eichel, for instance, who's saying, I want a second opinion. I may need surgery. Here's a situation that I'm in. I support his desire to do that, but he also realizes there's an implication to his ability to continue to play hockey, right? Like there's an impact there. I know I'm,
yeah, and you know, I would say it's a completely different issue because, yes, I understand the comparison in that it's like personal health. But yeah, your personal health, it doesn't affect the health of others. So Jack Eichel's decision doesn't.
And that's the thing is with Jack.
And
like that's what I was going to say, like with Jack, it's he's making a decision that's for him. And I will never take away a player's ability to take away their own choice. But in Jack's situation, his decision, you're right, does not impact any other player.
And I guess the argument would be that between Jack Eichel and his employees is that his decision may impact the rest of the team due to like his ability to play, which obviously is less serious than players' health. And Jack Eichel is arguing that for his own health and longevity in playing, he's trying to make his own personal decision. And I think they should have that ability.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of where I'm saying, and I know it sounds like I'm trying to sit on the fence. No, I personally, if I get vaccinated, don't want to get vaccinated, don't play.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. If the Vancouver Canucks were to have had that hard line, that's fine. And you know what? All the power to all of you that have chosen not to get vaccinated. I think you're all wrong, but I'm not like, that's all I can do.
Yeah. And again, want to preface this with, I'm not a doctor, but
I did stay in a Holiday Inn once. I think we've had this conversation. The Holiday Inn Express ad that we saw all the time over here didn't translate. Essentially, the ad campaign was, I'm not a doctor, but I stayed on the Holiday Inn Express once. And the implied, you know, presence was that that then qualified you because it was such a great experience in a Holiday Inn Express.
I see. Yeah, sorry, I completely blanked that. I do not remember that conversation. But I will say that, like, if anything, players that are consistently gathering in large groups, spending a lot of time around each other, pretty much getting up close and personal, swapping bodily fluids, would want to be most protected they could be.
Oh, gosh, Sharon, yeah. And I think, you know, and we're, to our point about the Canucks have, you know, as I think as a team, it said, hey, especially the players who were here last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, this is the way it needs to be. So, the other thing that I wanted to touch on was something that actually happened today. For those that may not be aware, maybe you're just not, you're a listener of ours, but you're not based here in Vancouver, or maybe in Canada. One of the local, the only local sports radio station, Sportsnet 650, had some changes today. The two people that were impacted, three actually, with Adam Forsyth, but Scott Rintel, Karen Sermon, and Adam Forsyth, Rogers decided to let them go. And in its place, they've elected to bring in Jeff Merrick and Nick Kypreos in a nationally broadcasted show that's going to be based out of Toronto.
Shocker.
You know, I'm not going to get onto the whole, you know, Toronto center of the urn of universe argument. And I, from a broadcast perspective, can see why the business is saying, oh, this makes better sense because it's one, cheaper to have a centralized broadcast location. Two, we're going across all of our networks. And three, we're catering to our largest market. It's the one that brings us the most money. But that's a slap in the face to the markets that have been hit by this. Like Calgary and Vancouver had access to Scott Rintoul, who I feel is, and there are some really good people in local media, but Scott Rintoul is the nicest, you know, most respectful person that I have known in local sports media. Like I talked about this on Twitter today. When C4 launched, I mean, we talk about it, how it was Clay and I huddled around a microphone in the den of my condo. And so we were your quote unquote, you know, basement bloggers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't qualify for that because Clay and I were a little bit older, both had families, lived, you know, independently, but here we are starting off and I reached out to Scott Rintoul and without question, sure, I'd love to help. And the thing is that story that I share is not the only time where he said that. Like, how many times today, and I, you know, would challenge people to go and look, did you see like, oh yeah, I reached out to Scott for this and he was there to help. Or I think it was Georgia was saying that Scott would reach out all the time, checking in, calling, are you okay? Are things going well? What can I do to help? And that was Scott. He didn't do it to loud fanfare. Mm-hmm. He simply did it because that was him and it was the right thing to do. And when it came to his sports acumen, this is a guy that he knew so much. Like there's often an argument in, you know, Vancouver social media about sports. And it's like, oh, I wish this person knew this sport. Like there was some uproar when Blake Price was given the play-by-play voice for the Whitecaps over Peter Saad. And, oh, I wish, you know, I don't want Blake cause he doesn't know soccer. He's a hockey man first. First of all, that's coming from someone who doesn't absolutely know Blake whatsoever. But the point is that any of these types of asinine arguments that would be raised were never raised with Scotty because he simply knew his subject matter so well and he dealt with it in such a respectful manner. The fact that he is no longer on our local airwaves speaks so poorly of Rogers and their decision-making process. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Karen Sermon, who's been away due to some health issues, or Adam Forsyth, who was doing double duty, you know, doing sports at 60 and his 11:30. It's just corporate sports media is sick.
Yeah.
And it's not the people and the talent that are on air. It's those who are making the decisions. It needs to evolve. It needs to embrace change. And so long as it continues to not do that, it's not going to turn around. Like, I am more than likely to tune into a live streamed experience than I probably will here at home. Flip the radio on. Even less so now that the people who I trust, I can't even listen to. And this is nothing against Kiprios and Merrick. Quite frankly, there's nothing about them that says, Chris, tune in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sports media, like local media, are being asked to do more and more and more in their jobs. You know, like write the stories, tweet all the time, create video content, and yet their bosses are doing less and less, and everything's just becoming more and more generic. And this is just another sign that central sport media do not understand Vancouver whatsoever.
No, and you look at the conversation as much as, and I'll use the Canucks Twitter as an example. People complain about Canucks Twitter all the time. Hell, Elliot Friedman has such a special relationship with Canucks Twitter that Canucks Twitter regularly makes 31 thoughts. Oh, is it 32 now?
I guess it would be 32.
Yeah.
If you can add another thought to your head.
The thing about this is that Canucks Twitter, as problematic as it might be, is a sign of something that I think many other markets would love to have: an engaged audience, an engaged fan base, a fan base that's more than willing to argue over who's going to have the number 7 spot on the Vancouver Canucks blue line after one preseason game.
Yeah.
Sports matters to us. And I'm talking about just the Canucks. Sports matters to many people beyond the Canucks. Whitecaps, Lions, Canadians. Heck, right now there's an argument between Blue Jays fans and Mariners fans. Neither of those two teams is a Vancouver team. And I'm not going to suggest that the fan bases rival that of, let's say, the Canucks. Mm-hmm. But the point is they exist here. And the problem has never been the people. It's been finding a way to engage these fans where they are. The traditional way hasn't been doing it. I think this reason why Sakaris and Price have done so well since they've gone sort of the virtual. I mean, like what we're seeing from them, and I think it's now Go Goat Sports, I think is the overarching brand, is embracing where people happen to be and providing them more of what it is they want and what they want to hear.
Yeah.
I think that's where we'll see Scotty wind up, but
I mean, as the success of Team 1040 operating outside of official channels, as in not having the rights, showed, like, the people and the smarts are there. They get the audience. They just aren't being given the right channels to do it, which is such
a shame. Well, I mean, and that, you know, let's be real. And if 650 were to lose the rights to the Vancouver Canucks, I don't believe the radio station lives.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? I mean, 1040, as you pointed out, like I still can't get over the fact that they pulled the plug on 1040. Like the moment they pulled the plug on 1040, like 650, the writing was on the wall. The rating, like you look at the ratings numbers, 1040 was pulling better numbers. Exactly, this is, again, not the people behind the microphone. It's the ability for 1040 to try it. Like, it was the work of the people behind the microphone. Like, Rob Fay hustled his butt off. Mm-hmm. And now he's just hustling his butt off on his own, and he's doing so well. Like, people gravitate towards that. And, you know, someone else said, oh, it's all the podcasts. There's too many podcasts. I'm like, I'm sorry. There ain't no way that any one of these Vancouver Canucks podcasts that exists is the reason why 1040 or 650 earned on the air. I would love to take credit for us having such amazing pull, but that's not the case. We're simply two people, two fans, and what we provide is completely different than what you'll get off a Sakaris and Price podcast or live stream or Donnie and Dolly, who have both podcast, live stream, and TV. Like, I think we're going to see more of that transformation. And I genuinely wonder if there's now a desire to have like an independent sports, whatever it might be. If you have your shows bringing the advertisers in, I think Sakaris and Price are proving that having done what they've done, there's an ability to monetize that in a manner that makes it sustainable, get more of those pieces in place. I think that's when Vancouver is then no longer beholden to someone who's in an entirely different market and just doesn't understand the area.
Yep.
Anyhow, I was upset when I saw that. I mean, I've been upset for all the different
reasons. No, it's definitely is bad news. I mean, yeah, I like to call Adam Forsyth the crazy branch of the family. That's why he has an extra E, because he's crazy. But
well, I mean, can't argue with that.
He definitely is, but he is a hardworking dude, and him as well as Karen and Scotty. It's just a real shame.
Yeah, especially considering they were asked to go in and essentially create content in two different markets. Mm-hmm. Like Vancouver and Calgary have very little similarity between the two when it comes to sports. Outside of the fact they have culture. Teams in the CFL and in the NHL. But look, yeah, you're right. Culture is different. And yet, based on what I was been reading today and what I have heard, they were doing it so well that each sort of market viewed them as being part of it.
Yeah.
And yet that's like, you're telling me that someone who's able to go and bring these two markets closer and like they're completely different. You don't have space for them. Corporate greed. I've had enough of it.
Same.
Oh, anywho. As we look to wrap up the show, we got a text message. Now, for those of you who weren't aware, yes, we have a phone line. You can send us text messages or you can leave us voicemail. The phone number is 604-200-6201. That's 604-200-6201. And this message is a little bit longer. I'm going to read it to verbatim, even though I'm not entirely sure the first line of the text message was meant to be read on the show, but hey, it is. Before you read, this message is composed and supplied by Hercules. I repeat, for those that may miss this part of the message, this is Hercules. Crying, smiling emoji. I don't know. How do you pronounce the emoji part, Anna?
I think that's fine.
Okay. I was hoping to add to your vote of confidence section. And for that, I ask, how confident are you in Podcoles in being a Calder finalist? Not to sway your opinions, but I have very little confidence since the rookie class seems to be very strong, like Trevor Zegras, Jamie Drysdale, and maybe that Caulfield guy. Winky smile face. Cheers, folks. Continue the positivity. Signed, so you won't forget it, Hercules. P.S. Anna, the Ducks are bad, but they're rebuilding and actually doing an okay job of it. Until they ruin it by acquiring Eichel. So, how confident are we in Pod Colson being a Calder finalist?
Pretty low confidence. And that's not taking anything away from Pod Colson, who's had a pretty strong showing. What say you?
See, okay. My gut tells me I have low confidence, but I am positive, and this is the C4 Canucks playoffs podcast. And for this to be a playoffs team, then we need playoffs Pod Colson.
Mm-hmm.
So I have confidence that Pod Colson will be a Calder finalist. I don't know if he'll win the Calder, but
oh, you're just saying Calder finalist. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. It's not, even if we think that Pod Colson is going to be the best rookie or one of the best rookies in the league, that doesn't guarantee you a Calder finalist spot. It's still votes. It's still true. Politics. It's still Pacific but time.
This is a playoffs team. Okay. It's going to happen. It's going to be happening.
I like your attitude.
Just like the Ducks acquiring Eichel.
Yeah, that's super happen. Positive from Hercules, I guess.
But as I let off, if you want to drop us a text message with your thoughts, you can ask us questions. As you can see, I read them verbatim, including the emojis. The number is 604-200-6201. So here we are at the end of the show. I'm in a little chipper mood. Talking to you, Anna, is always good for the soul. So thank you. Thank you for that. Patrons, if for some reason you're not in Discord, I'd shared that we're a little off our regular routine. When it comes to Instead of the Anthems, we canceled it this week. This was meant to be an off-the-rails week, but the likelihood is that we'll have to wait until next, at least. And that's a me issue. Please. It's a Chris thing. When the Chris things get sorted out, then we'll get back into the regular.
We're still looking for ideas as well. So if you have one, be sure to send it our way.
That's true. But if you were curious about what this Patreon stuff is and what patrons are, head to patreon.com/C4podcast where you can learn all about it. A few bucks a month, you get access to some additional content, access to our Discord only or patron only chat channel where some of the fun stuff gets talked about. But obviously, when it just comes to joining Discord, whether you are a patron or not, you can have a conversation at Gate 16. Or if you happen to be down in Seattle and be a fan of the Kraken in Pike Place, discord.io/C4podcast is the place to go. So, Anna, what final words of wisdom say you?
This is incredibly off topic from what we were talking about, and a little more serious, but this episode will be coming out on September 30th, which in Canada will be the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And if you're based in Canada, and you know, even if you're not, I encourage you to take the time to reflect on Canada's history and the relationship Canada has had with its Indigenous people and the issues they have faced in the past and continue to face today. I personally will be starting a course I registered for at the University of Alberta, which is free. So if you have the time to spend some time reflecting, I'd encourage you to do that.
Well said, Anna. And I appreciate you recognizing what September 30th is meant to be. I know I have unfortunately seen some who are celebrating the fact that they're getting a day off. For those that are, please reconsider what you might be able to use that day off for. And if you're not getting the day off, still understand that there are opportunities, like that University of Alberta course is one I've been meaning to look into myself. Final words of wisdom from me. Hug those that are that you have the opportunity to hug, those that are close to you. You know, tell them how you feel. Sometimes those opportunities are fleeting. Just don't pass them up. So please, you know, do what you can. I understand in the pandemic that we're in, not as easy, but just, you know, find a way to do so. You won't regret it. On behalf of Anna at A4603, myself, Chris at Lightforce, you can find the C4 podcast on Twitter at the C4 podcast. Make sure you follow us, say hi to us, engage with us. And if you like our show, tell somebody about it. Tell everyone about the C4 podcast on Twitter. You see someone asking for Canucks podcast, tell them about us. Tell them how much you hate us. But talk to them about us, because that's all we would ask. So on behalf of myself and Anna, we're out.